Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes akin.
You're listening to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Say hello to our listeners and friends jumping on now at WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Also 98.5 K-Fox, the South Bay's classic rocker in San Jose, California. And our friends at Rock 100.5, the Cat in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the show, guys. Big one for you today. Your guess is as good as mine. The categories, the 10 most fun cities in the United States to visit and the best places to go for late night munchies. We'll review some men's room rules during a tell us with a shot of the day. And in the meantime, it is our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Leia. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, dinosaurs.
Hola.
All right, Leia. Personal question, but, you know, I think you're going to answer this honestly. What would you say is your preferred method of birth control?
Oh, I have an implant in my arm.
All right. And so far, so good?
Yeah, actually, I'm on my third one.
It seems so weird that it's in your arm.
Yeah, I don't
understand
that. I mean,
I'm just saying,
right?
Like, yeah. I don't put a condom on my shoulder.
Is it,
exactly.
Is it underneath your armpit, kind of? Is that where they put it?
Yeah, it's kind of like halfway between my elbow and my armpit, like on the underside of my arm.
Could we feel it? Like, could you rub your hand across it and feel like a bump in there or something?
Yeah, you can. It's kind of gross.
Isn't it kind of cool that they also put an ID tracker in there so they know where you are at all times?
Yeah, that'd be something.
That would be something.
Although I'm not very interesting. I don't think following me around would be all that.
We know. We're tracking your cell phone.
So do they use the same incision place every time? Like, this is the third one. Do they consistently go to the same place when they put this in your arm?
Yeah, they just numb it up, and they take the old one out, and then they put the new one in, and then I don't look during that process.
But, how long does this pregnancy chip work?
I love that you call it a chip. It's 3 years for each one.
Now, okay. are they sure it's 3 years, or is it, like, I think if you do it right, you believe it lasts 4 years, you tell people 3 years. If you honestly think it lasts 3 years, you tell people 2 years. So, I mean, do you start to lose confidence in it, say, on month 34?
Yeah, well, I think maybe a few months passed on my last one when I had a change, and the doctor was like, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. You can have it for up to a year after that.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah.
Next question
for you.
It's
kind of like milk.
Are you in a steady relationship?
Yes, I'm married.
Okay. All right. Well, that's so you don't have to worry about anything else. Like, you could be ready on the go, but if you weren't married, you would still use a condom or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I've been married for 12 years, so
okay,
I don't have to worry about that.
And so far, no issues?
Nope. None.
And if
do you have children?
No. I'm a teacher, and I love kids, and I never want that to change.
Say no more. Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no more. You know what? If you're really interested in not wanting, you just want to live your life, and maybe kids just aren't your thing for whatever reason in life, I highly recommend either dating a daycare provider or an elementary teacher, because their mind is going to be so far away from that you'll be able to just, you know, live in, you know, how you want for a while.
What grade?
Exactly.
What grade do you teach?
I'm an elementary teacher. I teach reading.
I don't understand. Like, for me, my perspective was there was no chance I was going to talk to a group of children because they are what they are. And, you know, you see them every day. But then when I had kids, it was almost, I don't know, it'd be like marrying someone from a foreign country. Suddenly you have an appreciation for this other culture. And I would never want to do your job. I think that is ridiculous. I don't know how you do it. I just assume you're on drugs or drink, right? But to me, man, like, if you don't have kids, the idea of dealing with kids is the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Do you, when the kid's learning how to write, are they just basically going to Microsoft Word and typing everything in at this point? Do they write in print form? Do they write in cursive? How would I turn in a paper?
Print. Still print.
If you, yeah. So is it print?
Well, when I taught fourth grade, they could write in cursive if they wanted to, or print.
Why would they write in cursive?
I encourage them to use a computer.
Would you ever recommend anyone use cursive? Just knowing that no one writes in cursive beyond their own signature, I don't see anyone ever write in cursive.
No, I think cursive is ridiculous. But why is it still a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're asking.
It makes no sense. We've been asking that for years. It's like, well, I mean, a foreign language, maybe you get a little smarter. Maybe you can cursive.
Try to make an uppercase Q.
I mean, it's just...
See if you still got that in your repertoire.
Nobody does it.
Reason we ask, what is your preferred method of birth control? After a study in the Journal of Sexual Medicine showed that the average American's penis is 1 inch shorter than the minimum 6.69-inch length requirement of a condom, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved smaller condoms here in the United States.
Huh.
Based on a 2014 study, they studied 1,661 American men from Indiana University and found that the average penis length there was only 5.57 inches. The largest in the survey was a 10.2-incher, with the smallest being a 1.6-incher. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, only about a third of American men use a condom during sex, and a poor fit caused slipping is cited as one of the number one reasons that people don't like to use one. In response, FDA is now allowing for the sale of shorter condoms. And who doesn't want to be the proud man that walks up to the counter and buys that?
Somebody quietly is saying, it's about time!
Yeah. I still like Enrique Iglesias. But he came out and was just like, yeah, I got a small penis. I need small condoms.
He did say that.
But he's married to Anna Kournikova.
Right. Everyone's like, I can't believe he said that. Like, look at him. He would not make that statement if he was not married to who he was married to. But if you're going to marry her, you could be like, man, I have 15 testicles. I have chicken pox on my backside and a tiny penis. And you're still not with her.
Mm-hmm. Random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello, Tim.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Tim. I think it's a good one for you. What did you tell the cop the last time you spoke to an officer? What was the context of it? And what did you tell them?
I was getting pulled over at work. I drive for a living. And the Seattle cop caught me going a little too fast on the road. And she like, you know you were speeding. I'm like, oh, no, I had no idea. Like most people tell the cop.
Well, of course.
Even though, you know, yeah. And because it was a company vehicle, she's like, well, we're going to do a DOT test. We do the DOT test, I pass. She's like, oh, you know, you came back, your record came back just fine. And I was floored because I know I have tickets on my record. But
they have to what, run it through the Department of Transportation to make sure that what, you're not a bad driver? Is that what she did?
No, they check your vehicle and make sure it performs to what they classify as a safe running vehicle.
How long did that take to go through that test?
Half hour, 45 minutes.
I was going to say, that seems like that'd be a lengthy test. So you're standing there for a while.
No, she let me stay in the truck.
Okay, all right. Either way, though.
But you're still
that's,
there. Yeah,
that's a delay, you know what I mean? It's like sitting on the tarmac for 45 minutes is a long time.
But you made the right decision. I mean, most cops will tell you, and a small infraction like that, don't be stupid and tell the truth. Do you know why I pulled you over? Nope. Just say, look, if they're going to give you a ticket, they're going to give you a ticket. If you say I was speeding, then they're definitely going to give you the ticket. You just made the admission.
It's like the case of being a kid. Do you know why I pulled you over? Is it all the cocaine in my trunk?
Right.
Is it the decomposed body that I have in a bag?
We just wanted to tell you that your back passenger tire was running out of ale. But we're going to need to go ahead and search that trunk.
Oh, my bad. Okay, I didn't know why you pulled me over. I didn't know it was low.
So this open container?
I have hidden below me between my legs.
Reason we asked, what did you tell the cop? There is a 27-year-old woman named Ashley Curry, and she lives in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I have no idea if that's near Fayetteville, and our listeners there on the keg. But anyway, she just learned a lesson the hard way. She was busted last Tuesday afternoon for shoplifting Flonase nasal spray from a Walmart.
Well, I mean, go for the baby. Flonase is the junk,
hey,
right?
Hey, you got allergies. I like Flonase.
You do Flonase? Is that where you shoot it up in there?
Yeah, bro. Okay. If you're going to steal nasal spray.
It burns down the back of your throat, doesn't it?
Sometimes. I would say it burns. Yeah. You can feel it.
Well, she was stealing the Flonase, and she was dressed in a full-body cow costume, complete with pink udders on the stomach.
No better time to try to steal something, because in no way are you attracting attention to yourself.
Police didn't say why she was in the costume, but I guess we can assume it was an early Halloween thing. Either way, when a cop went to search her, she told him to, quote, suck a pink cow udder. It's not clear if that was an insult or a bribe, but either way, she was arrested for shoplifting and resisting arrest.
I'd have been sucking on that other. We were talking about cursive.
Random.
A couple of comments came in. It says, cursive is supposed to be faster since you don't pick your quill up, right? Going back to the day when we used quills as such. So much like daylight savings time, it serves no purpose now. And then someone else says, how are you supposed to sign your name on legal documents if you cannot read or write in cursive? All right, look, two things. Everyone signs their signature, and I don't know about you, but when I look at most people's signatures, the first letter is cursive, the rest is just some scribble you do, right? But you do it consistently, it becomes your signature. And no one's signature is really that legible.
No.
Right? I mean, when you sign it, like, the first letter is a giveaway, and after that, like, I consistently make these scratch marks on a piece of paper. I can do it every time, so all my legal documents are fine. No one reads your name. No one looks at a document, reads your signature, and says your name back.
Yeah, think about when you're a kid or something, you go get like an athlete's signature or whatever.
Right, dude.
Like a lot of times, that's why I like that athletes like put their number on.
There's a reason they put the number on. Because otherwise you'll forget who the hell signed it. Hello, Jonah. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Jonah.
Hola.
Jonah?
Hello.
Sorry. Hola.
How's it going?
We're doing good, Jonah. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
Okay. Let's give you this random question. What were you kicked out of? Where were you asked to leave, and why?
Oh, got kicked out of a few Walmarts for kicking soccer balls over aisles.
Wait, you're kicking it over top of the actual shelves?
Yeah, me and my buddies were, like, juggling across the aisles.
And, were they infuriated when they came to talk to you?
No, they were just kind of like, hey, you guys need to leave. Because we didn't break anything. We knew what we were doing.
Okay.
We know what we're doing, man, you know.
Could you walk back into that Walmart or do they recognize you? Do they have a wall of pictures of don't allow them to Walmart, you think?
No, I can go back in there, but okay. They just told us to leave at the time.
Cool. All right, the reason we asked what were you kicked out of, we have to give credit here to Deadspin.com and writer Randall Coburn, who is writing this the best way he can. He says, you'll see no shortage of celebrities sitting courtside at the Los Angeles Lakers game, but perhaps none sat so animatedly from the sidelines as Anthony Kiedis. Consequence of Sound reports that during Saturday's game against the Rockets, the Red Hot Chili Pepper singer was ejected from the premises after telling Rockets guard Chris Paul to suck his kiss. It was a tumultuous game as Lakers guard Rajon Rondo spit in Paul's face, Chris Paul's face. Kiedis was without a partner at the game, but he was sitting courtside. His bandmate, the Venerable Flea, was with him and took to Instagram on Sunday to share a surprisingly upbeat message about the incident. At the Lakers game last night with my dear brother, it got crazy. But man, I get so satisfied, deeply drinking in the depth of beauty of the game. People operating at a high level in so many dimensions. Cerebral, physical, spiritual, emotional, unspoken, and telepathic communications. By the way, the headline of his article, Anthony Kiedis ejected from Lakers game in the city he lives in, the city of angels. More of the random question coming up, 844-999-HOLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, another round of Profile This, and yes, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day. In the meantime, it is our random question, 844-999-HOLA.
Random.
Hello, Kelly.
Random,
welcome
random,
to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola.
Kelly, welcome to the show. Random, yeah, man. Where we go here? Let's see. We got a good one for you. All right. Okay, let's go with this one. What did you hope that no one would notice that you did? What did you hope no one would notice?
What did I hope no one would notice I did?
Ted, didn't you have a case where you put a hole in your wall at home and you just covered it up with a picture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was eventually discovered, but you hope no one would.
It was discovered quickly.
Okay, because you moved the picture in front of it.
No. My dad just came home and realized the picture shouldn't be there, and he moved it.
Okay.
Then found the hole.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty simple.
I discovered a cavalcade of dried blueberries yesterday.
Ooh.
I was trying to help my daughter find her glasses, which somehow, whatever. She does things that are amazing. Goddamn Houdini. But as I'm looking under the sofa, I'm like, what is this? All right. And she's the big blueberry eater. I cannot tell how long they have been there because at this point they look so dried. It looked like it came in a box of cereal.
No, and I put my blueberries.
But I pull one out, right? There's like one, and I get it. Sometimes a kid will drop something. And then when I reach back under trying to find her glasses, I realize Like, it's a whole goddamn pint, obviously. Fell down, and there's no way they all rolled under the sofa. So it occurred to me as I'm shoveling handfuls of dried blueberries out, like, she dropped these goddamn things down there, didn't want anyone to know, and instead of just picking them up or eating them like kids do, she shoved them all under the couch.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, right. And I would never, ever have known. Right? I would have never known, except for looking for glasses, and I'm like, I will be got.
And what did she say when you confront her?
It's, she has this way, all right, and I believe this about her, that she knows she's up to no good, and when you call her out, basically her thing is this. Once you catch her, she won't do it again, all right? So I'm under there, and I'm like, hey, come here, man. And all I did was point down to this pile of dry goddamn blueberries. Like, do you want to tell me where these came from? I dropped it. How long ago? It's not like you dropped them yesterday, man. Like, these things could be in the Natural History Museum. So I'm still not sure how long ago it happened, but it won't happen again.
Okay?
All right. So what did you hope? What did you hope no one would notice?
So I was working as an apprentice electrician, and we were working in like a medical facility, building it out. And they have these epoxy countertops that are really expensive. They come in one big, very custom piece. And I had to drill a hole through it to mount like a little outlet. And when I was drilling it, the little jig that I had made to hold the hole saw broke, and the hole saw basically grabbed hold of that epoxy, and it went tick-a-tick-a-tick across the counter by about 8 or 9 inches. And this thing's worth like $30,000. I'm like, oh, I think I just lost my job. How can I hide this?
So what'd you end up doing? And,
well, I ended up getting a bigger faceplate to put down over the one thing that covered a few things there. And then I used a Sharpie because it was a black thing. I used a Sharpie and I just kind of covered it in, and I never said nothing.
Okay. Well, that's why we asked you. You're the perfect guy to answer the question.
Yeah. The old black Sharpie. That thing has come in handy many, many minutes. No, man, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
The reason we asked, what did you hope that no one would notice? Here you go. You've heard of the Deepwater Horizon spill and the Exxon Valdez spills. Mm-hmm. But how about the 2004 spill involving Taylor Energy? Probably haven't, but as it turns out, the latter has been quietly leaking off of the coast of Louisiana so steadily for 14 years with no end in sight that it actually threatens to overtake Deepwater and Horizon as the biggest offshore disaster in U.S. history. This according to the Washington Post. I was not able to read the entire article as I'd already clicked through my 3 free articles for the month, but here is some of the long and short.
I'm done for the month, man.
The federal government estimates 10,000 to 30,000 gallons of oil per day is leaking into the Gulf of Mexico from the spill. Keep in mind, this has been going on for 14 years. And this all began when Hurricane Ivan toppled an oil platform owned by Taylor about 12 miles off the coast in 2004. The company worked quietly with the federal government on a containment plan, and the spill didn't become well known to the public until groups started noticing the slicks while trying to get a handle on the Deepwater Horizon spill. Like, wait, where's this coming from?
Wait, so they're trying to deal with the Deepwater Horizon. Jesus Christ.
And then they notice these other spills. Like, where's this coming from? As the Post explains, part of the problem is that the hurricane so thoroughly upended the ocean floor in the area that it's proven extremely difficult to find and cap the affected well. Taylor disputes the size of the leak. They're currently engaged in a legal fight with the Interior Department over cleanup costs. At this point, Taylor estimates that 2 to 3 gallons were leaking a day. The Coast Guard in 2015 put that figure at 16,000 gallons a day. However, the Coast Guard significantly raised its estimate in a court filing last month, suggesting the leak was actually getting worse. And what's more, federal officials say it could continue throughout this century.
Yeah, I mean, so the ocean floor got churned up from the hurricane. That's what, being preventive for them getting to where they need to go. If you haven't fixed it yet, I don't imagine. What do they say, 4 to 6 gallons a day? That's what they said.
They estimated 4 to 6 gallons a day, the energy company.
Right.
4 to 6 gallons,
right.
Which is not even enough to put a half tank into a Hyundai.
According to my daughter, she only dropped 2 or 3 blueberries under the sofa. Now, I just want to point out, typically when you go to the source of the problem, you know, they minimize how much damage has been done. In spite of me pulling, and she would still be like, I don't know where those other wires come from.
It wouldn't do that.
They should be fine right now. Random, the EPA is probably random, like, you know what? That's random, well below. Random. what we have deemed dangerous.
Right?
We have no problem with this. Yeah, it's a good time for
them. Oh, no, that's polluted as hell, but it's below our standards.
Right. Yeah, we don't know what the P stands for in the EPA. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Aaron.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Got a random question for you here. You probably never thought of this, but we're going to give it to you. You know it. What would you say is your pre-work routine? What do you do every time before you go to work?
Get stoned.
Okay. All right, so your day starts by getting stoned.
Yeah, doesn't everybody?
Okay, and then what do you do next?
I go to work.
Oh, so you don't brush your teeth, you don't take a shower, you don't eat breakfast, you don't do anything, you just get stoned?
I'm talking about directly. No, I can get up and brush my teeth, put my clothes on, drive to work, sit in the parking lot, smoke a bowl, and then go clock in.
Okay, and how many hours do you work?
8 a day.
Okay.
Do you go back up and refuel?
I'm lunch and break, man. That's what I do. I'm stoned all the time.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I just want to make sure, because there's nothing worse than starting stoned and then coming down, and then the reality is that you're just sober.
Like, yeah, exactly. Sober life sucks.
Do you believe that anyone in your work environment knows that you're high?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. My boss teases me about it all the time.
Oh, yeah. All right. But you get your job done.
He just told me don't cut my fingers off, and he's cool.
Okay. Are you dealing with heavy machinery?
Yeah, I make, lockers and desks for the Navy, so, I have to bend steel and stuff sometimes and whatnot.
Basically the only person.
Actually, not too long ago, a guy at my work ripped his thumb off, so that was pretty cool.
Was he stoned?
Sounds cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know, man, but he got his thumb caught in the machine, and he would have been okay, but he pulled back, and so it ripped the tip of his thumb off.
Oh, there goes that career in hitchhiking.
How many fingerless or partial finger people do you work with?
This place just won, but I used to work at another place where we made, tugboats and boats for the cops and stuff, and I swear half the guys there cut their fingers off at some point.
Sweet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we asked the right question. What is your pre-work routine? And we were talking about kids earlier. A new study looked at what it takes to have kids and work a full-time job, and it found the average working parent does up to 43 tasks before they even start work each day. The average parent in the study said they get up at about 6 o'clock to make sure that they can get everything done, and they feel like they've already put in a full day by about 11 a.m. There are 43 common tasks, believe it or not, that they have taken care of before work. Those include take a shower, brush your teeth, get your kids to brush their teeth, get yourself dressed, get them dressed, do your makeup or shave, make the beds, make coffee, make breakfast, feed them breakfast. Make sure they finish their homework, check the headlines and the weather, check your email, check social media, pack your lunch, pack their lunch, deal with dishes, wipe down the kitchen, brush their hair, do your hair, make sure their backpack has everything they need, make sure they remember their lunch, they have their sports gear, anything else for school activities, look for things that they can't find, help them put their shoes on, feed the pets, let the dog out, check your to-do list, talk about any appointments, schedule pickups for the day, tidy up and put their junk away, schedule double-check any child care appointments, make sure all the doors and windows are locked, drive them to school, get them on the bus, hit the gym, the deal with your commute. That's just over 30 of the 43. The rest are things
that's
you sometimes
8:15
do.
That's 8:15 a.m. By 8:15 a.m., all of that has been checked off.
Sometimes there's some odd ones. Deal with things like permission slips. Maybe you try to start a load of laundry, put clean clothes away, iron anything, pay a bill, take the trash out, water the plants, organize play dates, defrost something for dinner. There's a lot of stuff going on for people in the morning when they have
time. Yeah, but that last stuff you read to me, that's weekend stuff. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel like doing another goddamn thing. And after I drop the kids off at school, then I go back home and then start preparing for this show there. But that doesn't bother me because it is quiet. The computer does not ask me questions. The computer can reach Cheerios. It does not spill milk. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Sad but true.
I don't know why they don't allow time to pace it.
What's that?
They don't allow enough time for pacing.
You need to do some of that, man.
Yeah, I don't know why, but in the morning time, I always got to pace around a little bit before I put that shower out.
I do my 5 or 10 minutes of pacing and the time it takes the kids to get dressed. Because no matter how emphatically I say we got 5 minutes, I know it's going to take 15. I know that, right? You have to manipulate. We have to go right now knowing we have 10 to 12 minutes before that happens. And inevitably, my daughter will forget something. Hello, Austin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you? Hola. Welcome to the random question. Okay, Austin, let's go with this one. For better or worse, what did people get right about you? Or for better or for worse, what did you get right about somebody else? So maybe you went to school with someone ago, and you think to yourself, yeah, that guy's going to end up in jail. And he does, in fact, end up in jail. Whatever your prediction was, like, we had a prediction that a guy we went to school with, he was going to be, he had to be a doctor. Guy was too brilliant. He's actually a an AIDS doctor in San Francisco, California.
I'm sure that's what they're called now, too.
AIDS doctor.
I'm an AIDS doctor.
I think his job is...
I'm Dr. AIDS, I'm here to talk to you about AIDS. Just call me Dr. AIDS.
What do you call an AIDS doctor?
I don't. I just call him an AIDS doctor.
I was going to say Dr. AIDS. I don't know. But that's what he
does. I would call him Dr. AIDS.
Hey, kids, I'm Dr. AIDS.
He's been very successful at it. So how about you, Austin? What did people get right about you, or what did you get right about someone else?
I mean, I guess that's the what my parents always thought I would get into, that they thought that I would always go into a profession that had to do with math or numbers ever since I was a little kid, and it's finally come true.
And what do you do?
I'm a data analyst.
Well, they were right. They must have known how good you were helping you with your homework, right?
Yeah, no, they were. Yeah, my dad was actually an engineer, so
I mean,
he was
you-
pretty smart.
Data, and I mean, is this something you truly enjoy? Are you one of these people that, like, my brother needs to know how things work? He's the kid who always wanted to do puzzles, etc. Like, are you tracking along those lines?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I mean, I love messing with numbers and, you know, just manipulating data and just kind of making inferences based on what you find. And it's what's so great about it is that it could use for anything.
I was going to ask, how would a practical person use this type of knowledge? Is it practical any way where any Joe Blow could, you know, use it for the betterment of, I don't know, making their life easier?
Actually, there probably could be ways to do that.
I'm just trying to think of, like, why I didn't take these classes. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to pertain to me other than a job. You know, how critically, thinking-wise, how would this help me? Would it help me just get from point A to point B quicker?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, really, the classes you take for it really just helps you if you kind of go into the field.
The thing is, you have to... My brother's 5 years older than me, so he got to high school. I am still the tail end of elementary school. And I remember he came home, and he said, hey, man, when you get to high school, because I had no concept of this at the time, there's a thing called electives, and you get more electives based on your grades. He had 3. I had none. That, just to understand how my grades played out. And I was like, what are electives? He's like, look, man, there's like a list of 20 different classes you can take. And I want to say it was trigonometry, calculus, and something else. And I'm just looking at him like, you volunteered to take these classes. And he did. And now he's kind of like your electrical engineer, but, you know, he's into numbers and making things work. But I got to think, if you're a normal person, not that you're not normal, but you're not normal, if that's not what you want to do as a job, I don't know anyone that would want to and willingly sit through that stuff.
I guarantee you that I could find something for everybody that it could help their personal life, no matter what. It could be health, fitness, it could be, you know, diets, it could be relationships even. Like, there's a lot of different factors.
You got a calculation on relationships? I'd like to hear that one.
Yeah, it's obviously a lot more difficult, but it's been done. I haven't done it. I work more with more concrete data.
All right. I'm assuming pi figures into it, but yeah. All right, the reason we ask, for better or worse, what did people get right about you, or what did you get right about somebody else? It's a pretty crazy story, and it comes our way from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Alan Linick thought back on his time as a student at Mountain View High School, so the story goes, after landing a coveted job. The Stafford County School's 2007 yearbook included something specific about him, but he could not remember exactly what it was. So we asked a friend to text him a picture of the yearbook senior superlatives page. She sent it to me, and I was like, oh my God, recalled Linick, who graduated from Mountain View in 2007. He was one of 3 students named most likely to be on Saturday Night Live. Linick recently tweeted a picture of that yearbook page, which shows him flashing a toothy smile along with an announcement. I'm happy to say that I am joining SNL as a writer this season.
Damn.
Finally fulfilling the prophetic predictions of my Mountain View senior high class of 2007. Linick does not appear on screen during the 44th season. He's a writer, and he's listed in the credits along with the other writers.
Damn.
That's pretty awesome.
That is cool, isn't
that
it?
That is cool, man, because that's a real... That is a real... Not like comedian, funny guy, like specifically SNL.
Mm-hmm. They used to do sketch comedy back in high school. The club's performances, he said, didn't exactly draw a large audience. It was like the parents of the students who were in it, and not even all the parents. There were never full houses. Still, he said, the club and the drama teacher he was with, now retired, showed genuine excitement for the students. It never felt like we were high school kids trying to do something beyond us. But he ended up going to James Madison University, and then he got that gig, man, writing for SNL.
Damn.
That's awesome.
That is pretty cool, man.
I guess his peers knew what the hell was up. There were actually three students.
You think the other two feel like crap today reading this?
Right? Like, they're not working there.
Unless one of them's like Seth Meyers.
And here's the other one that's kind of disturbing. And although he tweeted out the picture of the three of them, Natalie Johnson, Rachel Weintraub, and Alan Lenick, all most likely to be on Saturday Night Live. Beside that was most likely to win Survivor. We have no idea if any of those three were even a contestant on the show.
Look, you show me the picture, all I'm going to say, not the black dude, right? A shoe white guy's in a black dude, like Survivor, that ain't him.
I'm going to go with the guy with basically the hookah shell choke necklace.
Yes. Yep.
I just hope one of them got on the show.
It's hookah shell.
Random question, 844-999. Ola, more your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Ola, bitch, Ola. You have entered the men's room.
All right, I got to say, your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, categories will be fun cities to play in and late night food. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up right after emails on our random question. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Bonnie. Random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Random.
Hola. Hola.
Bonnie, welcome to the program. Let's see here. All right, let's go with this one because of a new survey. Bonnie, what would you say? What non-sexual thing turned you on?
Turns me on?
Yeah. Somebody smelling good, maybe someone smart. There's all kinds of things that are like, you might find them sexually attractive for you personally, but they're non-sexual in nature. I'll give you a perfectly good example. My buddy Scott, and I'm sure he wants me calling him out on this, whenever he goes into the detergent aisle at the grocery store, for some reason, all those smells trigger his horny button.
Maybe because it smells like a clean bed that he can soil.
I'm not sure, but that's where he's like, I got to get in, get out, because I don't want to get excited at the grocery store.
Ooh, snuggle.
Yeah, that's a true story.
I'd have to say I dated a mechanic once, and the way he would smell when he came home from work was really sexy.
Wait, what did he smell? I'm picturing like diesel and oil.
Yeah, and just like dirty. I don't know.
So what about now, like if you have to take your car to like Jiffy Lube or something, right? And they're out there just chatting with you about whatever. Are you kind of like, I love this smell?
I do.
Okay. Now what about when he cleaned up? You know, like if you guys were going to go out on a date and he dressed up and took a shower and cleaned all the grease off of him and looked nice, I mean, was that not as sexy as when he just came home after work?
No, he's not.
But not as sexy. Now he's just good looking, but there's nothing sexy. You could have saved him a lot of trouble on the first date.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee you, he's cleaning his nails, washing. You could have said, man, look, show up in the clothes you went to work with, and you're going to get lucky
maybe
tonight.
Maybe you're turned on by the smell of lava soap. Are you guys still together?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you dating anybody now?
No.
Okay. All right.
She hasn't found anyone dirty enough.
Yeah, I know. She hasn't found a mechanic that smells like oil.
Keep looking.
The reason we ask what non-sexual thing turns you on, is there a moment they say when you're sitting at work in the afternoon and suddenly out of nowhere you're like, I really want to have sex?
Yeah, it's called being awake.
Apparently there is, according to a new survey, the time of day when people are the most turned on is, any guesses? This is a weird number.
3:30.
2:46.
Ooh.
Not even 2:45, like 2:46
in the afternoon.
Specifically, okay.
Anyway, the survey also had the biggest non-sexual turn-ons and turn-offs. People's top 10 turn-ons are smelling good, being affectionate, making someone feel appreciated, dressing nice, intelligence, confidence, generosity, listening, playing with my hair, and being tall.
Yeah, but I feel like playing with someone's hair, you have to already find them somewhat attractive to allow that to happen, right? Like, I'm tall, and if you find that attractive, great. But if I walk up to you and just start playing with your hair and we're strangers, I don't think you're going to find that sexy in that moment.
Yeah, I truly
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's plenty of, like, the smell, dressing, all that stuff's great. But, like, if I'm playing with your hair, I would like to think that we've already established that you find me attractive.
Yeah.
I can just be tall. I can't just walk up to you in a restaurant and start playing with your hair and say, what do you think now, ladies?
Yeah, I just learned recently, if you're old and like how they do the assisted suicide or whatever, if you just want to die, just go touch a black woman's hair. I learned that within the last
year. She will kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had no idea. I did not know it was such a big deal. I'm glad I never tried it.
Don't do it, man.
All right, thank you.
That it is
you
like better. Assisted suicide.
I mean, that is like the cardinal rule.
Look, man,
I didn't know that.
Because some states, they're like, we won't assist you with suicide because you don't have the right to determine your own life. So, but what you could do, some people do like, you know, suicide by cop. That's a little dramatic and you put people in harm's way. But if you go to a hair salon, find a black woman, and when you ask her what she's doing, just place your hand on her hair. She will, in fact, kill you.
The 10 biggest turnoffs are these: bad hygiene, being mean, being rude to a waiter, eating with your mouth open, flirting with other people, talking about your ex, being cocky, talking too much, dressing poorly, and baby talk. Now, here's the interesting part of this. Part of the top 10 turn-ons are being able to be a good listener and listening. And then part of the 10 biggest turnoffs are talking too much. It's sometimes not that the other participant isn't willing to be a good listener. It's simply that you've talked so much that we've lost interest.
Right.
And I'm being dead serious. Like, after a while, we can't listen. As a human being, I mean, I only got a short span to listen. You know what I mean?
Or just the stuff that matters, man. I mean, like, again, when you say, how was your day? It's not, hey, can you give me minutes from every part of your day? It's a general overall statement. And then we will ask questions following that up. I got up at 7:50. Don't care. I mean, like, if nothing happened when you got up, it's not worth bringing up.
Sometimes on the weekend when you ask somebody what they did today, and they're like, well, I showered and I ate.
Like, Jesus Christ,
right,
man.
Like, everybody did that this morning. Those are natural things. Like, did you do anything?
Did you do anything interesting?
Think about doing it halfway between a kid and an adult. So a kid, you'll say, hey, how was school today? It was okay. Well, I heard you had a pizza party and the president came and talked to everybody. Yeah.
Well, no, I found with my kids, how was the day? Both of them. Good, right? That's it. And if you don't ask another question, it doesn't come up. But if I do the pizza party thing, now I get too much information. So, well, I heard you guys had a pizza party. Oh, my God. And then Robin ate 15 pieces. And then someone's, and you're like, oh, my God.
Put a piece of pepperoni in his nose.
Just like, I just need half of this, man. I just need half.
I thought you said it was just an okay day. Then nothing really happened.
And what did you learn today? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
If you have somebody
you always have a good day and you never do anything.
Do you have somebody that gives you the opposite information?
What do you mean?
So, like, I went to Denver a few weeks ago. He said, hey, how was Denver? And I'll just start talking about the flight. You'd be like,
how was Denver?
Yeah, right. Like, how was Denver, though? You know, and it's just like, it's so much info. Like, well, I did this and that. You know, it's just like, well, Denver
was
cool.
And when your flight landed,
then you drove 8 hours to Denver.
Mm-hmm. The drive is longer than the flight. Random. Hello, Ramon. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola. All right, Ramon, let's go with this one.
All right.
What did you steal or what was stolen from you?
What was stolen from me was I had bought a $1,000 car. It was a used car. And, 6 days later, the car came up missing. So I called the sheriff, and they were like, well, unless the car's been committed in a crime or anything, you're kind of just on a waiting notice. You know, and I was so bummed out because I was ready for work, went out to the parking lot, and I was like, "That I don't drive a Toyota. Like, where's my damn Ford?"
Did you ever see
it? Gone.
Have you ever seen a car again?
I never saw a car again. But, hey, I was gonna ask you.
Hold on.
The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.